Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry I'm a couple minutes late. My phone was dying. It was downstairs. Like, I was trying to get my makeup on. I gotta go get my glasses. I will never be able to read the questions without my glasses. So let me grab those. Kind of one of those mornings where I've been going strong since a little bit before 5 this morning. And, still trying to get my shit together. But I've accomplished a lot this morning. There's always that. So, all right. So, it's Q&A day, which means you get to ask questions. If you will, make sure. I don't know what I just did. Sorry. Hang on. Trying to hit buttons here, and I'm messing myself up. There. I don't want this button. No, I don't. Okay. I was just trying to make it brighter. I'm going to get up my filters. So, here's how we do it. When you have a question, you need to, sorry, I got hair in my mouth too. You'll just need to use hashtag ask, and then Mary Jo, what she does is she populates everything into a screen for me to be able to read and for me to be able to answer. And I want to welcome, if there's any newbies that are already here, we have lots of newbies. There's one, Kim Stewart. Oh, you're in Dallas in the September, baby. I go to Dallas frequently. I only have one trip scheduled for this year, but that one in particular, I won't have a meetup just because I'm already there and I'm actually participating in a workshop. And so they have me scheduled almost morning, noon, and night. So, but I will have a bunch next year. So, I travel to Dallas quite frequently. Let's see. Excuse me. I don't have any water. I am so not prepared this morning. For all of our newbies, let me explain how today goes. It's Q&A, which means that you're just going to use hashtag ask. And you can ask anything. I'm just going to be answering questions. If you want to talk to each other, feel free to go ahead. Hello, Barb. New September baby. Got a January Gretchen. Now is the perfect time to get all of our shit together. Let me tell you how this month's going to work. So this is really interesting. We are doing No BS again as a tribe. So we're doing it with the newbies, which will be fun. And us coaches are doing it with you also. So I will be, I've already kind of started my stuff, but as coaches, we're going to track in the Facebook group just like everybody else. I think they're going to start their own thread. If you go to the units section in Facebook, you'll see that I have a journal in there and stuff. I'm just going to be adding straight on to that. But we're going to go through No BS just like you guys. So I'm going to listen to my own training. I'm going to do my own workbook and just do all the things. So it'll be fun because one of the things that is a goal for me to kick off 2020 is to go back through No BS. There's so many things that I have learned. Especially this past year that I want to change out, incorporate and do differently. So I'm going to be going through it like a participant along with the coaches and along with you guys. And then I'm going to take that. And then the month of, November and December will be my big project will be to, do the 2020 version of No BS. And, I have got some exciting concepts that I want to add, a couple things I want to change and, change up on how we do it. And the model lesson, module 4, it's going to be off the chain. Like, I have learned so much about the model since I originally recorded those. I know how to teach it better. I know how to explain it better. I have my own graphic now that it's a little bit different than what we're used to on just how to understand it. So I'm super excited. Like, I've got all the ideas coming through my head. I hear my husband. He's finally home. All right. Does anybody not have any? If y'all don't have any questions, man, we're just going to get on out of here. I don't know what else to tell you. Y'all better come up with some bullshit to ask. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. My 5K training's going well. Had another run today. Oh my God, y'all, it was hard. So yesterday I did sprints. It was like it wasn't sprints. It was a speed workout that the coach had prescribed me. So I've got this coach that I've hired that is a coach of one of my dear friends, Jane, and fellow tribe member. And, I haven't run 3 straight days in a long time. So I had what was called, he said the way he's breaking this training down is like one day I We'll do intervals of like run 12 minutes, walk 30 seconds, and I'm supposed to keep a certain heart rate. And then I yesterday had to do these speed intervals, which is like this think pyramid thing, which is basically where you run a prescribed speed. And then, which for me was a 10-minute mile. And I'm just going to tell you right now, 6.0 for the Queenie, I might as well have been a Kenyan. I mean, I have friends that 6.0 is their warm-up. Like, that is like what they do to just like get the cobwebs loose. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, I'm like, somebody, is there a pork chop tied to my ass and there's a tiger behind me? That's what it feels like to me. And so, you do 1 minute and then you walk for one, and then you do 2 minutes, walk for one, 3 minutes, walk for one, 2 minutes, 1 minute, and then you repeat it again. And you started with a 10-minute easy run, and then you ended with a 5-minute easy run. I mean, my quads are sore today, like so sore. And when it was time to go run this morning, I was like, what the fuck are we even doing here? Like, this cannot even be true. But there I was out there. I went outside, I'm running, all the, like, looking like me and a turtle could have been in a race. Little kids are looking at me. I'm sure they think, like, what's wrong with that old lady? All kids are at the bus stop, and I'm just like, ugh. I'm like, yeah, but if you could hear in my headphones, just say it. It's a rap party, we're pimping hoes, we're dealing the drugs, we're doing all the things right in here. So I made it. Made myself, got over it, had my breakfast. I'm doing Q&A with you guys now, and then it is off to the races for the rest of the day. All right. Oh, I want to tell you guys something exciting. Even though this is for the free people, if you just want to come and support your tribe sisters, tonight is what's called Success Night during the opening. So if you guys don't know, we're open today and tomorrow. This is why all the September babies are here. So if you have friends that want to join, make sure you send them to pnptribe.com. But tonight is Success Night. So there's like 6 or 8 of your tribe sisters who have all experienced different types of success and stuff. They're going to come on a Zoom call with me, and I'm going to interview them in 15-minute spots. If you want to see it, if for some reason you want to participate in it, I'll get Mary Jo, will you go over to Spring Replays and grab the link and post it in the tribe? You can post it in here and post it in the tribe, and just in case they want to come and watch and cheer their girls on. So anyway, it's always so nice because I love, well, one, I just love showing off the tribe members that do so well. And it's for me as the person who leads PNP, there's just something that is, it just touches my heart to be able to talk to the people that are actually, you know, experiencing the changes and stuff. So, and for all my newbies who joined, I hope that as you've joined, not only have you gotten the world's best welcome ever, but I hope that, that you're seeing, like, we just have people every single day posting weight loss, mental weight loss, changes in their lives, relationships, and all the things. So, anyway, I hope you're enjoying. I hope you're enjoying your first day here at the PNP. All right, so Kathy, in the tribe since March of 2018, I'm down 36 pounds. I had a goal of 153. Then I lost my mojo when I saw my naked back in the mirror and thought, "Oh my God, I have to lose a lot more weight to deal with that." That is not why you lost your mojo, Kathy. Remember our model. You have a circumstance, which is saw my back in the mirror. That thought, oh my God, that you're not losing weight because of your back. Let's put it that way. You may be stalled out. You said, because I don't, you're floundering because you don't have a goal. No, you're not. You know why you're maintaining? You're enjoying eating rather than working on your goal. That's why you're maintaining. You're prioritizing, like if you want to have a goal, then just set one. Like, you guys, seriously, last night I was talking about, you know, people are like, well, how do you get back on track? How do you get your mojo back? You just start. You don't make a big fucking deal out of it. You don't sit there and dramatize it. If I gave all of us any other time, I would have like 400 books just sitting around. Hang on. Let me dig around in here. If I was like, y'all, I started reading this book. I got to like page 70. I set it down one night. It's been like a month. I have not read a page. I've lost my mojo. I noticed that my eyes aren't as good as they used to be. I don't know how to get back on track. What do you think I should do? I don't really have a goal with this book. Y'all would be like, Queenie, have you fucking lost your mind? Here's how you get back on track. Pick it up. Oh, yeah, you're on page 70. It's dog-eared. That's convenient. Start reading. And yet we make it such a big-ass deal. It's like, here, Kathy, here's your goal. I had a goal of 153 pounds. All right, you still have that goal. You've just decided not to work on it because you've got drama about your back. Why not have drama about your back and lose some weight until you don't have drama about it? There's always that. It's like we have to quit thinking that our drama and our thoughts about our body are a good enough excuse to stop. What's so hilarious is that most of us have drama about our body. We don't like the way we look, so then we go eat. It makes no sense. So rather than like deciding to go eat because you don't like your body, why don't you decide to like say like, you know what? I really don't like the way this looks. It's probably a good idea for me to eat healthier. And like, you have to tell yourself that stuff. And just say like, and it's okay not to like how I look right now. I don't have to beat myself up for it. I don't have to make a big fucking deal out of it. I don't have to dwell on it and stuff. But like, if I want to change my body, I can for sure do it from love. I can be like, I want to just sit here and change it. It doesn't have to be a big ass deal. I think you gotta lower the temperature on that. I just really think that all you have to do is be like, I actually have a goal. This, oh my God, I have a lot to lose to deal with that. You don't even know. You think that's true. That's the hilarious part. What if your back becomes the place that the next 20 pounds come off and you've been sitting around for a year dicking because you thought that your shit was true? I'd just be like, look, Kathy, we're just going to start eating healthy again because we deserve it. And yeah, we have 153 more pounds to go. Guess what? Whether you have 153 or 10, they're going to come off one at a time. One at a time. And then you can just think about, like, I could start today, and then 1 year from now, this is where I could be. Had I done that in 2018 and just asked that one simple question, that's where I would be today. So do I want to spend another year regretting the past year, or do I want to spend another year showing that year how it's done? All right. Any updates on the purse planner? The target date is November 1st for release. So we have the designer finishing up the purse size planner now. What are we in, September? Yeah. So she's finishing it up. We'll be able to get it to our printer. Things like, y'all would think that we could just be like shitting planners all we wanted. That's not how it works. They have to be ordered weeks and weeks in advance to get into the fulfillment center. And then they have to do some pre-wrapping and get it into their systems and all this other kind of stuff. So it'll probably be 1st of November before those are ready. God, my nose is itching. You can just tell it's the fall. I'm working on thoughts around doing the written work. I find that I'm uncomfortable with seeing my thoughts written down. Any suggestions? Yeah. Just say like, I'm willing to be uncomfortable seeing my thoughts. The only problem is you're judging them. You're judging them as if they shouldn't be happening, or like they're wrong, or they're too painful, or whatever. That's the part that's disturbing you. It's not the actual thoughts. Trust me. It's not the actual thoughts. Thoughts don't really do anything. Thoughts don't do anything until you start acting on them and you start judging them and you start believing them. Other than that, they just come in and out. It's just like here's how we know thoughts don't do anything. How often has someone pissed you off royally and you have just said like, I could have just killed them? That's a thought. But, you know, y'all are here, not in jail. So I'm assuming that most of you aren't going around just killing people because they, you know, cut you off, piss you off, jump in front of you in the line at the grocery store or whatever. So what y'all have to realize is that when you're journaling, you're going to have a lot of thoughts and they're just things that you're thinking. That is like the first step. Like, I think that if a lot of you could just not worry so much about changing your thoughts, if you could stop worrying about, like, well, what does that mean about me? You know, oh my God, I'm so broken. No one should ever think this about their children, stuff like that. If you would just drop all the judgment of them and just be like, oh, okay, so these are the things I'm thinking on a regular basis. And this is what I do. Like, I look at it and I'm like, yeah, like, I work on Logan a lot. And I have a lot of thoughts that I used to judge myself about. I used to be so hard on myself because I didn't just love every minute with him. You know how, like, you guys just think he's adorable and all this other stuff? It's like, I think he's great and I'm proud of him and everything. But I'm like every other mother. He'll come in and he's super excited about something. And I'm not that excited about it. I'm just like, what? And my brain goes to judgment. And I used to beat myself up for that. And now what I just say is like, yeah, that's a normal response. Do you want to keep the thought or not? Like, and that, when you get to the point, like, as you keep journaling and you keep practicing, that's when you get really good at starting to see so much positive effect come into your life, because it's like, you no longer have to run from your thoughts. Thoughts are a lot like food. A lot of you, you know how, like, if you have chips or ice cream in the house, you guys think you're just going to eat it. So you want to, like, not have it in the house and not be tempted and everything like that. So that you never get to practice actually controlling food. You just practice being afraid of it. You're doing the same thing with your thoughts when you don't journal. When you're not willing, like, but if I see them, I feel bad. It's like, no, you see them, you have a thought, you shouldn't have them, and then you feel bad. So it's like, with the journaling, it's just like the food. It's like, get used to being around them, and then you start gaining control and authority over them. Rather than thinking, well, I just don't want to journal and see them, as if now that's going to be better. The only thing you do is practice being afraid of how you think. And so you spend your life exhaustively trying to run from your thinking. And most of you will run right to the pantry. And then if you don't have the chips in there, then you're just in a hell of a mess. I'm an April baby and haven't done much with the program. I'm ready to start but can't quite get myself to do it. Suggestions. You just start. Like, seriously, y'all, you ask this 1,000 times. Like, I don't really know how to get started. Any suggestions on getting started? Yeah. I'd log into pnptribe.com, go to the first lesson in OBS, and I'd push play. That's exactly how I would get started. But when y'all ask that question, that's not what you're really asking. Tell me how I can get excited about starting. You're not going to get excited about starting. You know why? Because you're sitting around thinking that you've wasted time since April. So guess what? If you're going to feel bad that you've wasted time since April, you're not going to be excited about starting. You're just going to have to start. And you're going to have to start doing the work and then get excited about where you're going. You have to let go of the idea you're going to be excited about starting. That just is probably, that boat has sailed. Or you can be like, you know what? Doesn't matter what I've done between now and April. The only thing that matters is we're here and everybody's doing no BS. Let's get it going. That's the only way to get excited about starting. Dealing with lists of crap at work and can't seem to stop eating my way through it. So I'm sure that if you're eating your way through it, that is just like really helping you get through the lists. No, you're doing the same amount of work, except you're compiling a bunch of bullshit drama on top of it. Why not just do the stuff at work? Like, if you're going to do it, Sonia, just do it. Like, a lot of us sit there and be like, this is the problem. Ugh. It's a bunch of crap that I have to do, blah, blah, blah. It's called your work. How about we just not call it our crap list to do? It's like, no, this is what's here at work today. I can argue with it, resist it, think it should be different, do all the things. But if in the end of the day, my ass is going to do the work, why not just not think about shit like that? And just think, here's work as it presents itself today. time to get started. And guess what? I'm not going to eat through it. Because then I'm going to have to work harder later after I do this bunch of work. Then I'm going to have to do work around not beating myself up over overeating and then figuring out how to start doing that. It's like, just start. I would just tell myself, we're going to get our shit done today. And guess what we're doing? We're not eating. I'm going to experience what it's like to do this work without food in my mouth. What else did you say in that one? I feel like if I have something in my mouth, I wouldn't tell them all what I really think of them. That's not true. You know why? You're not probably the person that would go and tell them all that you think. Here's the thing. Do you want to, like, these people, here's all the things I think of you. It sounds like you don't have an amazing, like, you're not amazingly judging them right now. You must think they're asses or stupid or something like that. So you've decided that those people are a good enough excuse to be overweight. It's like, you know what? Not only do I not think you know how to do your job and you keep piling a bunch of bullshit on me, but now I'm going to put you in charge of my weight loss goals. You seem to be a complete idiot. Here's my weight loss goal. Go do something with it. That's all you've done. You've decided that the very people you don't respect should be in charge of your emotional well-being. Don't do that anymore. I'm just going to tell you right now. If they can't manage your workday very well, they for fuck sure aren't going to manage your weight loss very well. So you're probably going to have to take control over that one. Which means you're going to have to take control over your mind about this work. You know, I'm going to tell you, the majority of us work for people. Like, my husband works for me, and he thinks I work like an ass. He stays frustrated with me probably half the day. I'm the kind of boss that interrupts a lot. I like to put out fires. He's constantly got a goal, and I'm constantly reorganizing, doing all the things. He doesn't eat over it. He gives me a stern look every now and then. But you know what he does? He's like, it's our company. Can offer some input sometimes, but the majority of the time, he knows that I'm the one in charge. Guess what he does? His work without a lot of drama, and he doesn't drink and eat over it. And he's my husband. There you go. It's totally fine to not eat for a day if you're -2. Never passes, no big deal, right? No. Let me ask you this. How many big deals did you make of the days where you weren't hungry at all, but everybody else was eating and you just got down and chowed? I like how none of us ever sit around going, I have a question. Like, it was Thanksgiving and all the food looked really good and I really just kept eating. Do you think I ruined my metabolism? Nobody ever asked me that. Nobody, like, everybody's always worried about if they miss a meal. If I miss a meal, that's surely to ruin my life, right? Like, all the things. And all of your friends and family will do this. You're gonna have periods, guys, when you first start, especially. Like, now, our girls that have been around a while, they'll tell you, yeah, in the honeymoon phase in the earlier days, when you're getting to know your two and stuff, you are shocked at how you're not really hungry, how much you emotionally eat. You eat so little in the very beginning. Then your body smooths out, and you're eating like 3 times a day usually. You notice you don't need to snack anymore. Like, all of the stuff starts coming in, and you start getting into rhythms. But that first few weeks, it's like you're going to want to eat, and your body is just not going to be hungry. Even now, I'll have a day every now and then where I'll only eat once because when I'm really paying attention, it's like one of those days where my body was probably just not burning a lot of calories, being super, like, productive and stuff. It just wasn't hungry. Like, when I'm on vacation, very often I'm barely hungry. God, you know why? I'm laying by a pool doing jack shit. My body just doesn't need a lot of food to energize it. It's got resources to work on. But the funny part is that you will miss some meals. And then suddenly everyone will be like, I'm really worried about you. It's mainly because they're used to watching you overeat. And when you actually start eating what your body needs, it's a lot less than what they're used to witnessing. It's also probably less than what they're used to doing too. So just have compassion that people are going to say things and that it's a little bit against the grain to just eat when you're hungry. Most of us are used to eating because it's time and because everybody else is. That has nothing to do with what your body chemically and physically needs. I've lost 36 since April and feel like my plus two is different now. Any tips for finding it again? I keep ending at three or four. Eat about half the food for a couple days and see what happens, Angela. So excited to be here, new to Tennessee and new to PNP. Oh, new to Tennessee. Welcome. How do I know which is the PNP gals if I show up at Panera Brentwood Saturday? Thanks for what y'all do. Are we going to Panera this Saturday? I don't know if we're going to. Are we? Somebody needs to tell me. I don't know about this meetup, but actually, I think I have calls on Saturday. Hey, if somebody make sure Shannon Hott lets me know if there's a meetup, or somebody tell me if it's in the events or something. I just haven't checked. But you will know when you go in. We always look like we're looking for each other, for one. And if Shannon's organizing it, most of the time somebody puts a sign up saying like, and it's, you know, not a glorious sign, but there's usually like a piece of paper scribbled PNP meetup or something. I have trouble with my plan when I don't know where I'm eating, and it depends on what others want to eat, like on vacation. Can you tell me how to do that better? Make sure, Candy, that you have listened. I think it's in module one where we do the vacation. It's either module one or module two of No BS. We talk about vacations and what to do. If you don't know where you're eating, it doesn't really matter. Mary Jo, can you link in the comments here? I know I've had calls where I've talked about this, about how do you handle going out when, you know, you don't know anything else. And the main thing, though, as I tell people, is like when I don't know where I'm going, I do know if I'm going to be drinking and how much. I always know if I'm going to have dessert or not. I always know if I'm going to have appetizers or not. And I also know if I'm going to eat out of bread baskets or not. Those things I can clarify. For dinner, I usually will put down something very benign. Like I'll have, if I want to have French fries or something along those lines, I'll say like, if they've got good fries, I will have that. Otherwise I'm having like a burger, no bun, or I'm going to have, like a steak and fries or steak and a baked potato or, you know, a protein and vegetables. You just try to narrow it down as much as you possibly can. I have trouble with my plan when I don't know where I'm eating and I just did that one. Do you have to have lost 25 pounds in the tribe to be in Queen's Club? No, just however much you've ever weighed. I count all the weight. Do you reread your journals or TDLs? I do reread some of them, not all of them, and I don't keep them all anymore. I used to keep all of them. The only ones that I really keep now are my really old ones from my younger days. I like to keep those just for just seeing how much I've changed and how much has never changed. It's always amazing to me how I was doing thought work when I didn't know I was doing thought work. I really like seeing that. But I keep a lot of my old stuff, but my newer stuff, once I finish a journal, usually what I do is I'll do what's called an executive review. I kind of look back through the overall stuff and I make a few notes personally of things that I learned or anything that stood out to me. And then I just go on to the next one and then ditch it. If I kept all of them at this point, I would just have like a warehouse full. I joined in 2019 and I've lost 38 pounds. I've not been perfect, but I felt pretty good. Recently, my son has been struggling with mental health issues. That's rocked my world with worry and anxiety. I'm struggling with trying to get a place in my mind that I'm okay with what's going on with him, but also keeping myself and what's best for me on top of my list. I've been self-sabotaging, trying to lean on my Marco Polo girls, which are great. I just can't quite get out of my shitty diaper because I do nothing but worry about my son. I really don't want to crutch with food, but I am. Couple things. Number one is it's normal for a mom to worry. So I would just think that, like, when you're worrying, don't put judgment on, don't act like you have to stop worrying. What I want you to do first is just accept that my mind's going to wander to that, and that's normal. That allows you to quit fighting the worry. A lot of us, what we do is we go to the worry, then we judge ourselves for the worry, then we need to eat because we're judging ourselves and we're doing the worrying, right? So the first thing that I would do is like start with you first and work your way out. The next thing I would do is remind myself that I can worry all I want, but that worry is never going to solve it. There's nothing in my worries that's going to solve this issue. The only thing that I can be doing is thinking the best. If I think the best, whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyway. Whether I think the worst or the best, whatever's going to happen is what's going to happen. And you thinking the best for you and him is more likely to produce more positive results than you thinking the worst for the two of you. Because you're thinking the worst, you're already suffering for it. You're already eating for it. You thinking the worst for him, you won't show up the same. You just won't. It's just accepting that. So a lot of times when you want to go to worry, have compassion that that's normal, and then remind yourself. And it's okay that I do that. We have a concept called the worry bucket. It's a podcast that we did. You can set aside a specific time each day to do your worry for him. So you're just like, it's not worry time. I only worry between 4:30 and 5. And at 4:30 and 5, I can go nuts, nuts on the worry. And what I would do is I'd keep a piece of paper that looked like a bucket. In fact, we had that hard grass. My nose is itching so bad today. I think it might have been at a camp that we did this. But we had a piece of paper that had a bucket on it. And you basically just write each day. You write your worries on there. And then at a specific time each day, you get to read all of them and you get to worry all you want. And it's like what I call productive worrying time. Like, this is where we do it on purpose. What you're doing is you're not doing it on purpose. And so then you catch yourself feeling bad about it and then you go eat. If you're like, nope, this is when I'm going to worry. This is when I'm going to let the shit show just go crazy. You do it during that time. During the other times, you get some relief. The other thing that you can do with worry, and I don't know if we have for some reason, I think we have something in the tribe on this. But the other thing that you can do with your worries is a lot of times just writing them out and you look at them and then you question them. Like, is this likely to happen? If it was to happen, how would I handle it? Like going through it, because your brain is already going there. Your brain is already afraid. What most of us do is we eat to get away from it. Or we worry incessantly and we're not really doing anything about it. So our brain hangs on to it. If you put it on paper and you write about it and you deal with it, your brain makes a connection that we've done something about it. It releases its need and desire to continue to spiral out in it. Because the brain wants to protect you. It wants to feel pleasure, avoid pain, and what's the other one? It's the motivational triad. Seek pleasure, avoid pain, and there's like a third one. I can't remember at this moment. But anyway, your brain right now is seeking pleasure and avoiding pain. So what you want to do is you want to lessen the pain. So if you lessen the pain of the worry and stuff, and you give it all that, it doesn't have to go seek pleasure to offset it. Do you think it's okay to just choose from a protocol list of prepped food when you are hungry instead of deciding ahead of time when making your daily plan? Like if I put choose from protocol list on my daily plan, I don't know why, but if I don't have to decide ahead of time, I feel better. I think that's fine. Sometimes what I do is I just write on my daily plan, it'll be like JJ food. Because I have JJ make me, like a mix of things. And then I might want to eat my salad twice a day, or I might want to eat this twice a day or something like that. So I will just put down like JJ meals. And that's the stuff that I've already got prepped and it's already ready to go. A lot of times I don't know what I'm going to want for breakfast the next day. So I will do something like oatmeal or Kodiak pancakes. And then I just pick oatmeal or Kodiak pancakes. I'm doing the self-love course and I'm not getting the difference between confidence and self-confidence. When reading the materials, the thought that came up to me is self-confidence is like faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is this an accurate comparison? Can you explain this a bit more? Yeah, it's very similar. So self-confidence is your personal confidence that you generate to take action before you know it's going to work out or anything like that. So it's like I have faith in myself that I'm going to do things. Confidence is let's do it like this. All right. You know how I'm doing the 5K training to do the 30 minutes or less. I have self-confidence that I am going to follow the plan. I do not have confidence yet in my speed. But what I do have self-confidence in is that I'm going to have the plan. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do my stuff. All right. So like, I know I'm going to take action. I know that if I miss a day on my training, that I'm going to be honest with my trainer. And then I'm going to do exactly what he says to, you know, when he fixes the schedule. Like, I have a lot of self-confidence that I won't quit. But what I don't have confidence is, I don't have confidence in running underneath a 30. I haven't done enough runs where I'm getting closer. I haven't done enough things over and over and over again yet to get results that are showing me, oh yeah, we're getting better. Oh yeah, this is working. I just have confidence that I'm going to do the work. I hope that makes sense. My father passed away from surgery going wrong 20 years ago. He told me his wish for me was to lose weight and be healthier while he was at the hospital. Since then, I seem to only have gained, lose weight, and gained. Is there a podcast around guilt or grief eating? Not necessarily, but it's, I tell you, a good podcast to listen to. The Widowed Mom, I think it's the name. It's by Krista St. Germain. Can somebody post that in here? I think it's called The Widowed Mom or something like that. She's a life coach through the life coach school. Now, she was a young widow, but hers is all about grief. So I think that one would be super helpful. I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to ask anyway. I'm a truck driver with my husband. I planned the night before. However, we never know where we're going to be the next day. Sometimes we get into an area where we decide to grab something to eat, not fast food. I cannot really plan for this. Yes, you can. Guys, please stop saying, I cannot really plan for this. This is what happens. You're a truck driver. There's a restaurant. If your thought is, I really can't plan for this, you feel helpless. So then you flounder on the action line. Sometimes you'll eat healthy and sometimes you won't. But you will always be eating in confusion. You'll always be wondering if you're doing it right. Guys, you always can plan. Always. No fucking body. Say that one more time. Seriously. The only way that you cannot plan is if you are kidnapped, thrown into a dungeon, and they don't feed you. Yeah, then you can't plan, y'all. I will give it to you. If you have cash and your ass is in a restaurant, you can plan all day. Y'all act like you can't put stuff in your mouth on a plan. It's like, decide ahead of time. Am I a fuck up when I eat or not? That's a plan. Let's see. What else did you say? We usually only eat out once a week. Do not eat fast food or truck stop food. Is there a way I could plan this somehow so I'm not going off plan? Yeah. You have one meal a week that you're eating out. I'm pretty sure you can solve this problem. Do you? It's The Widowed Mom, y'all. It's for sure that one. Do you know when you go out to these restaurants, are you going to eat French fries and burgers? Are you going to look for a healthy option? If nothing else, everyone, like when I travel, I never know what restaurants I'm going to. I don't ask my friends, hey, I'm just going to let you know. Like, I'm the CEO of a weight loss company. Y'all need to be picking some restaurants that I can look the menu up and plan ahead on. No, I don't fucking roll like that. You know what I do? I'm like, I'm the CEO of a fucking weight loss company. You know what I can do? Walk into any restaurant and not eat like an asshole. I know how to do that. Like, if you don't think that you can't, if you think you can't plan, it's basically saying, I can't plan, which means I don't know if I know what is a good choice. Y'all, you're women. You're born with the gene of knowing what a good choice is. I guarantee you, if I took all of you out and I said, hey, I have a quiz for all of you. Tell me what we shouldn't eat here. Oh God, what is like, what breaks all the diet rules? Everybody be like, girl, I got this. I'm going to get an A. You all know what you're not supposed to be eating to lose weight. That is not a hard one. But most of you act like you're so confused about what to eat in order to lose weight. And the only reason why you would be confused is because you might not want it. Okay. Well, then don't want it, but eat it anyway. Or just decide if you're going to go out on this one. And I'm not just picking on you, Jen. And this is your, like, I'm pretty sure not you're going to say. Like, you kind of knew that you were going to be stepping into it. But this is for everyone. Here is the thing. It's like, if you know it's once a week and that's what you and your husband like to do, then you can ahead of time plan and be like, and these meals are the ones where I will have something I really want and the rest of it will be healthy. Like, when you think about planning, you can do it that way. Let's see. What is a good way to stay mindful and keep my plan in mind when I'm at events where I can't just start writing or reading something? I find I will actually mindlessly start eating the food that's out when I realize I go into, well, I already blew it. You need to just know that, well, I already blew it is the next level of work for you. It's like, go to the events, visualize ahead of time you getting nervous and wanting to eat and stuff, you catching yourself eating and you stopping. And saying like, oh yeah, I was probably mindlessly eating because I'm nervous. Like, you need to practice that ahead of time. You don't have to stop, drop, and write, guys, in order to do this. But we all know when we're eating, and if we know we're eating, if your thing is that, well, once I start eating, I'm just like a fuck it person, that's your next obstacle to overcome. Your next obstacle isn't to do it perfectly. Your next obstacle is literally to stop in the middle of eating when you catch yourself. A lot of you need to be right there. Like, make your plans and do all the things. But if you know, like, when you, every day when you answer the question, what patterns in my eating am I noticing, if any? So Queenie has been writing down, I add food. Didn't seem like it was enough. I added food. There's a pattern. So what do you think my next level work is? Really start evaluating when I want to add food and stop and ask myself some questions. So if I noticed that I was like constantly putting fuck it eating down, I'd be like, oh, that's the next thing to work on. The next time I'm saying fuck it, it's not to not get to the fuck it moment. Like, this is where you guys make a mistake. You think you have to stop before the fuck it even happens. It's like, oh no. Baby step number one, have a fuck it moment and take authority over it and teach yourself how to gain control. Because if you teach yourself how to gain control there, guess what happens? Gets a lot easier to stop it before it even happens after a few weeks. Is the thought of being disappointed keeping me on plan? Okay, for example, I stay on plan because I don't want to face the disappointment of admitting to myself I went off plan. I think you can nuance it, Ashley. I don't think it's terribly wrong, but rather than like, that almost creates like a fear thing. So here's how you do it. When you think like, would you rather stay on plan because you want to enjoy what it feels like to be successful or not have to face disappointment? What you could do is nuance the thought to, the reason why I'm going to stay on plan is because I can't wait to see what it's like to be proud of myself. I already know what it's like to be disappointed. And then you can write about, and these are the prices that I pay when I'm not willing to work for feeling pride. I would do some journaling on that a lot, and that will help you a lot. I really need something to drink. I thought Chris was here and he's not. I do not have enough water. admitting that I have tracked my food. Okay. I just listened to the module on the hunger scale. Those tracking apps tell you to eat 1,200 calories, which I can't even meet anymore. Those tapes in my head. If I don't eat enough calories, I'm going to store fat. Is this true? I admit I'm afraid of 2 to 2 because of this. Now, we store fat because we overeat. Your body stores fat from overeating. Those calorie apps tell you that so that you'll keep plugging your calories in. Y'all, for fuck's sake, come on now. Do you think those apps want to see you deleting them? No. You know what they're going to do? Tell you a bunch of shit to make sure that you keep them. Now, if you were only eating 500 calories every single day for 3 or 4 weeks, yeah, your body's going to start doing some bullshit. But I'm just going to tell you right now. If you will just eat to 2 to 2, what you do is you learn your own personal hunger cues. Your body will be like, oh yeah, did you know right now that we are eating your own fat cells. That's what hunger is. Hunger means the insulin's cleaned out of the blood and your body is now forced to go to your fat in order to convert things to energy. Your app does not know that. Your app doesn't know how to get you there. It just knows how to give you a number. You could eat 1,200 calories in one meal. And if you eat the 1,200 calories in one meal and that's past your two, guess what your body does? Stores fat. That's when you eat past your two. Actually, when you eat past like a three, this is when you start really getting into it, guys. But two is satisfied. Three is probably about where maintenance is. Four is where weight gain starts. You go to a four, guess what? You've ate more food than your body needs. And once the insulin's tapped out, it starts saying, all right, time to store his fat. Time to store his fat. Let's add more fat. We don't need to tap into fat. So then the next time you get hungry, guess what it's tapping into? Yesterday's hot dog extravaganza. Not into 10 years of eating ice cream that's like on you like cement. That's when we have you eat to satisfy and we have you start when you start first getting hungry so that your body can dip into stored fat cells that have been around a while and you're ready to get rid of. So every time you've gone and overate, that is like saying, okay, now when I'm not going to eat as much as I've been eating and everybody's going to be commenting on me eating a little bit less, just say like, oh yeah, I'm just going to work on that Chinese that we had like 3 months ago. Remember that day we were getting down on lo mein and nobody said, hey girl, that might make you overweight if you keep eating. Remember when no one was worried about my metabolism then? Yeah, that's what I'm dining on right now. See ya. I've had a habit of waking up in the middle of the night for a snack. Can't remember the last time I've slept through the night. I'm finding it really hard to get past this habit and just sleep through it advice. You're just gonna have to not have the snack and you're probably gonna have to have very disturbed sleep. Your body is so used to it that it's just like, all right, it's time to get to snack. And it's time, like your sleep rhythms and everything have been taught that this is the pattern. So you're gonna have to teach them that this is no longer the pattern, which means like, sorry, Pamela, but for probably like a week, you're gonna have to lay there bored as fuck in bed. I would sit there and think about my dreams. I would think about my goals. I would think about my babies. Whatever you need to think about, I would just think about those things. If you're like me and Kathy, we like to say the Hail Mary over and over again till we fall back asleep. Little praying don't ever hurt. You can do yoga chants. If you're not, if you're not straight dope Catholic like me and Kathy are, it's just going to take bored as fuck time. That's going to be the price. That's the price you're going to pay for every time you've gotten up and taught your body, hey, at 2 a.m., you know what we do? We go eat something. And then your body relaxes like, oh, okay, we've had our snack, time to go back to sleep. Now you're going to have to teach your body that we just don't. It's going to be just like, if you've ever had to break a three-year-old from getting up in the middle of the night, or maybe even a, well, Logan was practically a teenager by the time we broke him from waking up in the middle of the night. But whatever age child, it takes a few nights crying, and then eventually they learn how to sleep through the night because they're not entertained and stuff. But that's how it works. What's a great place for our accountability group to hang out in Nashville on Friday morning of camp in October? We'd like to head out and hang and visit. Is there a comfy coffee shop or daytime hangout place you'd recommend? Joy, there is a Panera real close to the hotel. You guys could go there. There's Champions if you guys just want to go downstairs and hang out in Champions. What else is around there? I don't really know. I used to live over in that area. There's a Shoney's. I used to work at Shoney's, but I mean, there's a Shoney's if you all want to go over there and have coffee and stuff. But I'd probably go to that Panera over. It's over by the airport. If you just look for the Donaldson Pike, it's off of Donaldson Pike. I'm not sure. What is the name of that road? Oh, if Kathy was on here, she would know the name of that road. It's on the same road as the post office, but it's the one that's over on Donaldson Pike. There's a Panera over there. And there's a Shoney's that's right on Donaldson Pike. Can you talk more about seeking pleasure? Is there a lesson? I think I just kind of talked about that. But it's basically, If you'll just look up Josie on, because I can't remember the third part of the motivational triad, and it's going to drive me crazy. I'm going to have to go Google it after this. But if you will Google motivational triad, that's how the brain is originally designed to work. Seek pleasure, avoid pain. Oh, this is fucking pissing me off. Hang on. I just got to do it myself. It's, I wish somebody, I have talked about it before. All right, the motivational triad. Seek pleasure, avoid pain. Oh, and energy efficiency. That's not how I always say it. Let me see if I can find a different one. Ooh, there's an article called The Pleasure Trap. Oh, it wants to be lazy, essentially. So it's like seek pleasure, avoid pain, and conserve energy. So it wants to like do as little as possible. That's like, oh, keep safe. So conserve energy, keep safe. So that is what your brain is originally designed to do. So the reason why like a lot of us want to seek pleasure is because when we were, so back in the primal days, and if I was you, I would just go read about it online. This is like something that's been around for a long time. Is back in our caveman days, we would seek pleasure. We would want to have sex so that we could procreate. We would want to eat berries and stuff because those were energy foods. So we used to seek pleasure in very benign ways, and we'd get a little dopamine hit and we're like, oh yeah, we're warm. Fire must be good. We should make more of that. Oh, when I have sex, that feels really good. And babies come. So that is why the brain is designed the way it is. So it seeks pleasure. It avoids pain. Like it would know like, all right, fire is great for keeping warm, but don't put your hands in it. Avoid the pain. And what's the other one? Seek pleasure, avoid pain, and be lazy as fuck. It would want us to basically save our energy so that we would not have to worry about like when we needed to sprint and when we needed to get away from a tiger, we would have those resources. The problem is we have a modern day brain. And if we want to seek pleasure, we're seeking it in the form of a Twinkie, not in a blueberry. When we are like, when we talk about pleasure, like we seek it on the iPhone. And when we talk about avoiding pain, we're not like making sure that we're not hiking through the woods with bare feet. We're avoiding the pain of like, well, oh my God, I don't want to like speak up in the office meeting. Somebody might disagree with me. That's why the motivational triad has gone awry. The motivational triad, the way the brain is designed now, is it's still operating on a primitive basis while we're operating in a very modernized world. So there's a lot of stuff coming out, and one of the things that I'm working on is we have to recondition and start using a modern brain, which a modern brain is going to rely more heavily on our conscious brain. Our primitive brain is all about our habit brain. It's always looking for those things. So we have to override the primitive impulses with our front brain, the part that like has the higher self, all the goals, all the reasoning in it. Will we be working through No BS together? How exactly is this going to work? Yeah, we're going to be working through it together. So on this Sunday, you will get your first member newsletter. So every newbie's job is to go through orientation. All the current members, the elders, you guys got instructions in last week's Massive Action Line. So your Massive Action Line comes out every Sunday and it comes to your inbox. If you're not getting your Massive Action Line, you need to email support@pnptribe.com. That means your server, for some reason, is probably rejecting our emails and we need to get it fixed. We send them out every Sunday without fail. If you want to look at it, say you delete yours and you don't know where it is, then you can go to pnptribe.com, scroll to the bottom, and at the bottom has the most recent Massive Action Lines listed for you. So you can click on it and you can see exactly what we're doing this week, where I'm going to be live, how to attend, all of that information in there. The stuff for the accountability groups is in there. So we make it really simple for you guys. So this Sunday, everybody will be getting the week one materials sent to you in email, and that's what we're going to work on. So it will tell you, watch these videos, make sure that you've done this worksheet. Like we always have like one worksheet we focus on every week. There are usually in the NOBS several worksheets to do, but if you want to make the most impact, this is the one, and this is the one that we will talk about as a group in the Facebook group. On Monday night, I will be doing a call that is all about Module 1. So it will be a Zoom call. You can come to that at 6 p.m. Central Time. And I will be talking all about Module 1, answering questions and coaching on Module 1. And then that will go into the Private Member Podcast, and it will go into the video replays. So if you can't attend live, which 80% of the tribe, like seriously, guys, y'all always think there's so many tribe members. Do you know on an average call, you know how many people actually show up? Somebody take a guess. If I ever get over 200, I about shit my pants. Sometimes there's only about 80 or 90 of us sitting around on a Zoom call. That is how few people attend the calls. Majority of people are always coming. Like right now, there's 199 of us. 199. There's damn near 6,000 of us. I just want you guys to see that when you create drama around like, oh my God, Corinne, I can't be at the live calls. I must be missing out on so much shit. No, you're not. You're missing out on nothing. You listen to the replay. It's all you have to do. Majority of people do not do the live stuff. You know why? They're fucking working. Changing diapers. Going to football games. Whatever you guys do, right? I'm always here live. So I don't know what you guys are doing. But that's how it will work. And then what you'll notice is in the Massive Action Line, we'll talk to you. We'll say like, and on this day, if you want to join in on the discussion in the Facebook group, you'll see a post. This is where we'll discuss it. That kind of stuff. And then if you like aren't on the Facebook, you're listening to this right now and you're like, I don't do Facebook, Corinne. So what do? You just do the work in the Massive Action Line and the any questions you have, take that shit straight on over to the Ask Coaches. And then all things will be answered. And if you can make the Monday night call, that's another opportunity for you to be able to ask some questions. Okay. I've been listening to the podcast forever, but just joined the tribe yesterday. I've been counting calories and recently switched the hunger scale, and I feel super hungry all the time since I switched. Any tips on how to navigate the switch from counting calories? It would still just eat to the hunger scale. Let it level out. You may want to also question every time, like, if I had a bowl of broccoli, would I eat it? If you wouldn't eat the broccoli, you're probably experiencing more of your emotional hunger. Is the protocol a basic list that we create? Yes. Or is there a format document we are supposed to use? Dana, in module two, there is a page, but it's there's no formal list. It's whatever you create. And everybody has different protocols and stuff. And so when we do module two that week, I'm going to be sharing my protocol. A lot of people are going to encourage the tribe members to share their protocol and all that kind of stuff. And you'll see that everybody has different ones. A lot of people, their protocol has potato chips, chocolate cake on it, all kinds of stuff. And that's not their exceptions. This is the stuff I will be routinely making my plan from. I'm beginning a new chapter in my life, an empty nester, going back to work, which involves being out of town a few nights a week. I'm so excited for these changes and want to take advantage. I'm planning on doing no BS, but want to do a vision board. Is this too much to do at once? No, I mean, if you want to do it, just do it. But like, I would just set a time limit. Let me look. I know that this course is coming down. It's not going to be kept forever. I don't know if we still have it up. There we go. Let me look it up. If you go to the bonus courses and you want to watch the vision board class that I taught last year, you can go watch that. This one's going to come down in December. I'm going to try to do it a different way. I didn't really love the way I did it, but I mean, it's not bad. It just isn't. I want to do it better. Let's put it that way. But if you want to watch that just as a guidance, but we did it live. Last December as a whole tribe, and I was in Nashville with girls, and then other groups all got together all over the country. Feel free to look at that. I don't think it's too much, though. And you're excited. Ride the excitement wave. The difference between riding the excitement wave and blowing yourself out is people... Yes, I have pants on, y'all. I have shorts. They're just very short. Y'all need to celebrate. I used to not hardly even wear shorts. I was always so ashamed. And I actually will wear shorts in front of you bitches now and all the things. So let's just all recognize the queen for a minute. But sometimes I do look pantless. And I also have a video. I don't know, all the newbies, the welcome video. I swear to God, when it's the welcome to PNP, I look like I'm naked. I'm like, I bet everybody watches it because they're probably wondering, why is Corinne butt-ass naked in front of a room full of people? It's funny. The momentum wave is, if you're excited, I'm all about you doing the, like, riding your excitement and doing things. But what most of you do is you start off too hard. There's a difference between, like, getting your vision board created and all this other stuff and, like, saying, I'm so excited. I'm going to do all the perfect diet rules. And I'm going to just eat hardly any, like, food. No. That's not excitement. That's ridiculous. But excitement would be like, I got all my materials printed. I would like to do a vision board. Like, I think getting your brain trained on where you want to go is perfect. I work 7 to 7 and I'm struggling with a 24-hour plan on my last day. I can plan for what I'm going to eat while I'm at work, but struggle with the next day. Should my 24-hour plan include my day after I get off, or should I make a 12-hour plan for work and make a new 24-hour plan when I get off? Hey, I think that's a good idea. I'd make the 12-hour work plan and then I would almost like a, like, let's do a reset, because it's kind of like doing something different. Like, a lot of people in the tribe like to make a weekly plan that goes, we have one client, Marie Schultz, who's done this for years. She makes a weekly plan that goes Monday through Thursday, and then she resets and does a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday plan, because her weekends, she likes to, like, do them differently. So she kind of, like, thinks about it as like 2 weeks in 1 week. So I don't think that's fine. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I know we have the group for women and with children with special needs, but would you ever help or give advice on life with autism and finding time for yourself? I have 2 young autistic boys and would love advice from you as experienced autism mom. I offer help in there a lot, Becky. If you notice, I post in there some. So you can go over there. A lot of them, they've been navigating their kids with special needs and stuff. I get into that group and stuff. And in fact, I was talking to someone the last couple days about her son and her thoughts and all that kind of stuff. So I would just post in there. I check into that group. I check into all the subgroups at some point. So I would for sure get in that group and utilize it. I've been in the tribe since April. We also have calls, Becky, where I have coached a lot of the autism moms or the moms with the kids with other kinds of special needs. So you may want to just, you may want to, like, look, go over into the video replays, click on all whatever, and there's a search bar up there. If you type in either autism or special needs, I bet you'll pull up some of the calls where I've coached people. I've been in the tribe since April and doing great, but I keep wondering, when is this going to get hard and I start messing up? What if you don't? Why keep wondering that? What if you just wonder, like, what if I just keep going like this amazingly? I'm sure this is from past diet fails. Will this thought go away? Only if you try to make it go away. It's not going to go away on its own. If you keep thinking about it, it's going to stick around until eventually what will happen is you will make a mistake. And instead of thinking it's a normal part of the process, now you're going to think, oh, this is when it gets hard and awful. What if you just think, I'm just going to keep rocking and not stopping. This is great. I love that it's so easy. I'm grateful. And you just keep training your brain on that. Then every time you make a mistake, you'll think, oh, yeah, and this was always supposed to happen. This is how I learn. That's how you change that. And how's Logan's driving training? It's good. He's driving out to the front of the complex every day. So he backs the car out. I think I have a video in here, guys. If you go to the videos, you may end up, I think we kept it, but anyway, it was just showing Logan backing out of the driveway and driving to the front of the complex. So he's doing good. Is stage 2 inevitable? Everybody has to go through stage 2 at some point. It may only last 30 seconds, but everybody has to go through stage 2. And what a stage 2 is at first we're all really excited. And then stage 2 is where we're like, oh, fuck, I don't really know what I'm doing. The problems start arising. It's like where, like, you don't really know what you're doing yet meets all the challenges. And so what stage 3 is where you're meeting all the challenges still, but you know how to navigate through most of them. It's like each stage is where you're kind of like, you just experience different thoughts and feelings. I did a video on this not too long ago. Mary Jo, maybe you can hook them up for that one also. Remember when I talked about the stages and I wanted that one pulled because it was so good? See if we can find that. Okay. Looks like one more is coming through. It's fair season in New England, and I'm wondering your best advice on how to handle a full day of fair food and treats. You plan. It's really hard to plan that beyond -2 + 2. Not really. Just decide. I'm going to go eat some fair food, but I'm not going to stuff myself. I get to have what I want, but I don't have to stuff myself, and I can wait until I'm hungry. It will make you more selective about what you're doing rather than just being like, oh, let me just try all the things. Do you really need to try all the things? Like, I want you to ask yourself, how many years have you been going to the fair? Here's a good exercise for you to do. Think about all the years you went to the fair, and then you overate. Are you really proud of it? Are you so glad that you did that? If you're not, then create a different experience this time. Ask yourself, well, what would I wish I had have done? And then you go to work on creating that experience this time. I wonder how the tribe will be in the future with thousands of women. There is only a handful of employees. I just wonder if the personal touch will be compromised. Only if I decide it's going to be compromised. Let me ask you this, Dawn. All the things that I teach, what do you think the Queenie does? Like, if my goal is for it to have be personal and my goal is for all of that, do you think I'm just sitting around going, oh, there's just no way. It's not going to ever be able to happen. No. Y'all need to trust me. I know exactly what's going on. I have so many plans. And like, y'all haven't even seen the good stuff. The way we're doing it now, one day we're going to, this is what's going to happen. Give me and Chris about 3 years on some of the stuff that we're planning. Like, we have 3 to 5 year plans that we're working on now for the future of PNP and what we want to do with it. Everything that you see right now is going to be like, oh, that was so cute back then. Remember how like archaic it was and how silly and we thought it was good? That's the future of PNP. That's what I'm in charge of keeping in track. You guys don't need to worry at all. I know what I want PNP to be in my head and what I want it for my people. And it's revolutionary. It's the one thing no one else is doing. That's what I think about all the time. I always am thinking about there will be like the weight loss industry is going to be looking to us and being like, what the fuck just happened? They're changing it all. And they're going to be jealous, for one. Oprah will call me for lunch. I will not have to hunt Oprah down, two. But the big thing is I really know what the weight loss industry needs to be like. And my ultimate goal is that when somebody thinks about losing weight, everybody was like, oh yeah, like you got to quit thinking about all that other stuff. This PNP thing, this is where this shit happens. So like, as you see things today, like the accountability that we do, that is so like we're all, you know, trying to, you know, get you guys together and stuff. Just imagine for a minute that there's a whole system that does that for us. And that at any time, if I want to go live and just come into your accountability groups and stuff, I can. As of this day, I cannot do stuff like that. I'm just going to tell you that if you think it's personal and you think it's in your life now, you ain't seen nothing yet. All right, guys. Oh, here's Tammy. I've been in the tribe since 2017. The tribe has grown and things are only getting better. Corinne and our coaches are always around and even more accessible. Yeah, it's so funny because I think everybody thinks that as we get bigger, somehow, this is what's crazy. So my mindset, you like Mary Jo and I in particular are very all about the like the customer service and we're very about the community. Like in our mind, community first. Like these people, like I know one of the things that I have seen really transform the tribe is when we got really serious on how do we allow, like how do we create systems and ways and motivation for you guys to take what I give you and work on it together in an intimate way. That has been the biggest game changer. We really only started that in about, I think it's been a little over a year now, about maybe a year and a half, but probably a solid year. And we think about this all the time. And the biggest fear a few years, like literally about, was it less than 2 years ago? We were 500 members. And people were like, there's just no way that it can feel special. Just no way. Like, girl, if you ever get over 500. And then we would have camps where, like, oh, you could not have more than 50 people. We have camps of 350 now. And people leave there and they're just like, I have been with my sisters. And they're all crying and hugging. And it's all about, like, I want you guys to think about everything that you do here. Is it creates a feeling in you, and it's because of how we think about the community. So when we got really solid on how we were going to think about it, I've watched us get bigger and closer, because in my mind, getting bigger allows more women to change their life. Having more tribe members adds to the like experience of the tribe. When we have more people have people like them. It becomes super inclusive, not exclusive. You know, if I had stayed at 500, I would have been excluding all of you except for about 10 people on this call. Maybe not even 10. If you're here now, you need to be very grateful that I got over the idea that I was not going to be able to make this place special unless it was small. I decided, I think that might be a thought. If I want PNP to be special, guess what I got to do? Put my brain to work on how to make it special. And that's what I do every day. You will never know how much I think about this stuff. I have planners. I've got two working right here. We have notebooks we take to the pool. Notebooks we take out on date night. I think about you all the time. Because I just want everybody to lose their weight. And I want to impact every one of you. And it's not just your weight loss. I want you to change your life. And so my brain is always going to work on how we're going to do this. What are we doing? I don't sit around and think terrible things about this business. I only think good things. It's like your kid. You don't want to sit around and just think shit about your kid all the time. And I think of like you guys as like us, all my kids. Now, sometimes I get pissed when y'all asking about like, can I plan shit? But that's for a different day. But I love it. And I don't run out of energy. And I actually have been studying some mentors who kind of do similar things in different spaces about how they cultivate their passion and how they like just live and breathe it and how like it's just insatiable. And I love that. So I'm working on really cool things, guys. Y'all don't even know, like, oh my gosh, I can't even tell you the things. They're so good, but the best is yet to come. All right. Welcome, newbies. I will see. Tomorrow is weird. So I am doing a Facebook Live. The usual weekend motivator that I just record and upload is actually, I didn't realize this, it's actually a Facebook Live. It's going to be on my public page, though. I'm letting the public see what a Facebook weekend motivator is for the tribe. And then next week, we go back to the pre-records. In fact, I've already got them recorded. I got to tell Sadie to take it down because I had it scheduled. And I was like, I think it's on my calendar. I'm supposed to do this live. So there will be one live tomorrow, but it's going to be on my public page. If you go to the calendar, I believe, let me just make sure this is true before I tell you guys this stuff. And then everybody's like, I don't say that. Hang on. I got to get to the right place. Shit. Hang on. You'd think I'd know how to use my own damn website homepage. I went to the wrong button. Sorry. That's Thursday. Where's Friday? Well, no, it's not on here. Okay, let me just, I'll get it all square, but I believe tomorrow, Friday, at, let me look on BusyCal. Let me look at a different calendar. It's, oh, that's September 20th. That's why it's not. Special Facebook Live Weekend Motivator. It will be at 12 p.m. I will get that added to, I don't know why it's not showing up on the tribe calendar. Mary Jo, am I looking at the wrong week? I bet I am. I ain't got my damn glasses on. Oh yeah, no, it's on there. 12 o'clock. Sorry. I'm just like, I'm looking at two different calendars. 12 o'clock tomorrow will be a public Facebook Live. If you go to pnptribe.com, go to the calendar, which is halfway down, and then if you click on it, you'll see the link to my Facebook page, and you can join me there. And I'm going to be talking, I think, about taking action, and then which will be really good for all of us. And then we start getting back on a regular schedule. So you can just, the calendar has everything. We close tomorrow night. Yay. Throw up the confetti, and then we don't open again until January. I always love when we close, because then it's like all y'all all the time. When we're open, I have like 10 days where I'm like splitting my attention between the two, but it's not that bad. So anyway, all right, y'all have a good one, and I will talk to you later. Bye, y'all.